The following audio is from White River Christian Church. More information about White River is available on the WRCC mobile app or at wrcc.org.
Well, good morning. Spring is in the air, isn't it? You can just feel it. And not because you may or may not have had a break. I realize not everyone gets a break, right? And not everyone gets to go somewhere nice and fun, although some of us did. So congratulations, those who got the nice sun down south. But we get to celebrate spring now. And not just because it's warmer or because of that break, but because of something very specific. It is planting season, isn't it? There's lots of work ahead of us. That's what we get to look forward to, is all the work that lays in front of us. Those of us that are working hard and planting and working to grow things, which is many of us in this room today. And to get in the right frame of mind, I want you to, with me, picture a five-year-old girl, a sweet little old girl who goes over to her grandparents' house, and they just happen to be farmers. And let's just say she just went there for spring break, and she was so disappointed because grandpa was busy outside working the fields, and she had all these plans to play and just hang out and have fun, maybe go swimming, do lots of things. And it just so happens at dinner time, they're sitting around dinner, her and her grandparents, and they just so happen to be eating corn that night. And she, the grandpa looks over and takes this opportunity to explain to her why he was so busy all day. You know, honey, I was working to grow this stuff right here. And just like a five-year-old should, she goes, "Well, why were you doing that? Can't you just buy that at the store?" Right? Typical five-year-old. And if we could all be as innocent as those little children, I know in some ways that would be nice, but boy, would we go hungry. I know my kids, they really can't do anything as far as feeding themselves unless there's a pack of fruit snacks or a granola bar within eyesight there for them. So we will be looking today at this idea of planting and harvesting in the book of Galatians. If you've been with us the last few weeks, you know we've been going through the book of Galatians. We've been journeying through Paul's letter and looked at lots of passages about freedom, about life, and a life renewed that God promises in this book. We looked at how we're saved by faith. That's the first step to life that's renewed, is that we place our faith in Jesus, that Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. That you can't add anything to Jesus. And then we looked at how we're free to live in Christ. That we really don't have to do this, but it's something that we get to do. We get to live for Jesus each and every day. We also looked at how that freedom continues is when we embrace the life of the Holy Spirit, and that there's this fruit of the Spirit that exists when we live by the Spirit. And then last week we looked at how we get to be conduits of God's mercy, carrying each other's burdens, that we can hold each other up, and that really frees not only us but our community up to live as God intended. And so we're not going to be focusing on growing corn today, because I am certainly no expert in that, but we're going to be looking at this idea of planting and this final principle that Paul shares with us in Galatians, and it's in chapter 6, and we're going to be sticking around verses 7 through 10 today. So you can go ahead and turn with me there to Galatians 6, and I'm going to start with verse 7. It says this, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always, always harvest what you plant." You will always harvest what you plant. And there's our harvesting and planting language. And in there is our first principle. That's very simple, but it is so important, that whatever we plant is what we will harvest. So what you plant is what you will harvest. You don't have to be a farmer to understand this. Like I said, I've certainly back away from being an expert. I know many of you grow lots of things. I see many professional farmers and people in the audience today. And so I'm not speaking as one with authority in this. But I know that if I plant tomato seeds in my garden, I should not expect pumpkins. If I plant pumpkin seeds, I shouldn't expect corn. And if I plant corn, I shouldn't expect a sunflower to grow. That just doesn't make any sense. We understand this. This makes total sense. And I think none of us here today would deny this principle that whatever you plant is what you're going to harvest. We know this. This is solid. This is clear. But not only is this clear in the life of agriculture, that what you plant, you have a seed, you take care of it, and that is what will grow. This is true for all of the choices that we make, that our choices, in a sense, are things that we're planting. Every single thing that we do is a choice, is something that we're planting. And Paul and the Lord here are saying, you will harvest those things. It is the same. And C.S. Lewis says this, I think it's so powerful. He says, every time you make a choice, you are turning the central part of you, that part that is choosing, into something a little bit different than it was before. And so we change as we make choices every single day. The little ones and the big ones, we make changes. And so we know this is true. And many of us maybe even know and think of people that try to get around this truth. And I'm sure you could think of somebody that tries to avoid consequences in their life. We could think of lots of people, I am sure. But one famous example that comes to my mind is Ernest Hemingway. One of the most famous American authors that ever lived. He notoriously stuck his nose up at God and really said, I want to live however I want to live. Morality does not matter. I can do whatever I want to do. This is something that we see quite a bit in our world today. He mocked scripture. He claimed that he could live how he wanted without consequences. And not to be prideful, but he was wrong. And this was only demonstrated not only by scripture, but by his own life. If you know his story, he had so much despair in his life, unfortunately, which led to him taking his own life in 1961. You see, you can't get away from consequences of choices that you make. This principle was true in the 60s, in the 20th century. It's true today, and it was true when Paul wrote this in the first century to the Galatians. You will always harvest what you plant. You just will. And so here's the point in my own words today is that the choices that we make, the choices that we all make today, will determine the people that we become tomorrow. The choices that we make determine the people that we become tomorrow. Again, this isn't something that you can get around. Verse 7 is so clear. It says, you cannot mock the justice of God. That's why Paul says that. You can't mock it. You can't get around it. That is true. You can't avoid it. The justice of God is perfect. It is holy, and it will happen. What you plant, you will harvest. But it made me think, if this concept is so simple, if this concept is so basic, if this concept, really, we could just say that and be done today, why? Why isn't everybody? Why aren't all of us here today the person that we want to be? Why is that? How come we're not that person? How come our lives don't look like the lives that we draw up or the lives that we dream? Why is that the case? If this principle is so simple, if it's so easy, well, you just plant it and you harvest it. I make this choice and this is what happens. Why aren't we the people that we want to be? Shouldn't it happen like that? Don't we pay attention to this? Don't we pay attention to the choices that we make and the things that we plant? It's not because we don't know this principle, right? So what is the deal? What is the key? Well, I would suggest that we already missed the key in verse 7. It's the very first thing that Paul said. Verse 7, don't be misled. Don't be misled. That's really the key to the whole thing, is if we're really going to understand this idea of planting and harvesting, don't be misled. And Paul leads off that way. Is that really the case? Is that really why we're not who we want to be? Is that why maybe our lives are, they're maybe good, but they're not what I dreamed up? Or maybe they're way less than that, and they're certainly not what we'd hoped. Is that really all it is? That we've been misled? And if so, how have we been misled? What are some of those common misconceptions around this principle that we have believed? Well, thanks for asking. Paul will continue here in these next few verses, and we will see a few principles that are so important for us to spot in our own life and to see and to navigate and to say, hey, we need to stop being misled in these areas. So look at verse 8. Verse 8 says this: those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So if you live according to the sinful nature, you're going to harvest decay and death. That is what Paul is saying. Again, it's just the same principle, just kind of fleshed out a little bit. But what I see as the misconception is that I know I believe this sometimes, and I'm sure I'm not alone, is that I think that those that are planting seeds only for themselves can get away with it. I think, and I see people around me, and I don't know the whole story, but I'm sure you can think of people, and you think, how did they get there? How are they in that relationship? How are they in that position? How did they get that job? I have no idea. How did they get in that home? How did they become so successful? Don't they do this? They just seem to plant seeds only for themselves. They feed their sinful nature, and you're like, this isn't true. It doesn't work. This is not true. And you believe that those who plant seeds for themselves actually get ahead. They get away with it. But Paul is saying, don't be misled. That's a lie. That's a lie. And that's not the only way we are misled. Verse 9, he says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. Don't get tired. Another way that I know I'm misled is when I'm making good choices, when I'm honoring God, when I'm doing the right thing, sometimes I think it shouldn't be this hard. It shouldn't be this hard, which is exactly why Paul says, don't get tired. Don't get tired. I know it's going to be hard. It is hard. It's hard to make the right choices. Planting, and that work is work. It's work. It's difficult. I'm sure you've thought this. I know I think it quite often. Is really making the right choice, is it really this difficult? Is saving money, is it really that hard? Sometimes it is. Absolutely it's hard. Is exercising self-control difficult? Yes. Loving the people at home, is that hard? Yes. I know I'm not alone there. You're like, but I love these people more than anybody in the world. Why is this so hard? And we think, it shouldn't be this hard. It is hard. It's really hard. Don't be misled. Just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not working. It's hard. And right there in verse 9, don't get tired of doing what is good. Sometimes we just think, well, because it's hard, it must not be worth it. It's just not worth it to choose the good. Like, I understand it's maybe hard, but maybe you even think it's not even worth it. And you're like, it's not worth all that patience. I'm just not going to do it. It's not worth it. So I'm not going to follow through. Because if I think it's really hard, I'm probably just going to say it's not worth it. And I'm going to bail. And we think my patience has run out, and I'm just not going to follow through. And Paul's on a roll here in verse 9, and he continues with these lies that I think we believe. And it's this. He says, at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. If we don't give up. I know the lie that I think so often is, well, the harvest hasn't happened yet, so it's not working. I should just give up. It's not working. But Paul says, don't be misled. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. You will. The harvest is going to come. Those choices and those decisions that we make, even the very small ones, the ones that you do every single morning, the habits that you've developed every single day, the ones in your home, they're affecting your life now, the ones that you've made for years and years. And the ones that you do today will reap a harvest later. It will happen. I'm sure I'm not the only one who's ever put a bunch of work into a project and you think, all right, I finished it. I'm all done. I'm all finished. And I can think of so many examples from my life as a parent. The one that sticks out in my mind is sleep training my oldest son, Ethan. You know, you go into that every night. You're like, this is the last night. We're going to buckle down and we're going to stay up and we're going to really do the hard work and he's going to sleep through the night. That harvest took a long time to come, I tell you. I can't even remember. I think I'm still tired from training him. But eventually, it happened. And just as Paul says in verse 9, if we don't give up. You can't give up. You can't give up. Don't give up. Because so often I think we do believe those lies, and we do. We just give up. We say, this is too hard. I don't think this is going to pay off. And we believe those lies. And Paul even continues in verse 10. He says this, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. Do you ever think, I just need a break? Like, I've done really good. I've been planting all these seeds. I've been making good decisions. I just need a little time out at home. You know, like, can I be impatient at home for just tonight? Or indulge a little bit just this one weekend? I've been doing really good. I know I think that. Maybe I need a break at work today. I've been doing so good. Maybe this is just me. This is just how I am. It's just, that's it. That's it. And maybe you just give a little less than your best and you're resolved thinking that's okay because I'm tired. I need a break. I think verse 10 addresses that type of thinking because we think we can be selective. We think we're planting, but we think we can stop, and you can't because you're always planting. This is what Paul is saying. Whenever you have the opportunity, that is always, because we're always making choices. You're always, usually, with people, whether it's in public or at home in your neighborhood, whatever it may be, you're always making choices. And sometimes we forget to treat our family or believers or our neighbors or whoever it may be in the same way that we want to be treated. And we think that this principle, you know, I planted pumpkins, I get pumpkins. And sometimes you're like, well, I just need a break. I'm going to plant nothing today. Do you know what you get when you plant nothing? It's not nothing. It's a trick question. You get weeds, don't you? The weeds take care of themselves. You will get something, so nothing is not a choice. It's not a choice. You have to do something. And so you can't be selective. You're always planting, and this principle is true. And so we're misled when we think, well, I just get a break tonight. And that feels like a burden, doesn't it? But really, it's Paul and the Lord trying to help us understand the truth. Help us to understand maybe why we don't get what we think we should or why our lives don't look this way or our harvests don't look that way. It's because it's hard. It's because I think we believe the lies that Paul is addressing. He says, don't be misled. Don't be misled. When we have the opportunity, plant seeds of the Spirit, Paul says. And those are just five of the ways that we're misled in this planting and harvesting life of the believer that's so prevalent here, but it's also prevalent in Jesus' teaching and the teaching of the whole New Testament. This language of planting and harvesting is all throughout, and I felt like it would be appropriate to even add a few more reasons, a few more things that we are misled or that we find elsewhere. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says this. He says, I planted the seed in your heart and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like it depends on me. That's just not true. I think the harvest depends on me. And it's not what Paul is saying. It's not what the Lord says here through him, that God is the one who makes things grow. As I've said multiple times, because I want you to know this, I am not a farmer. I'm not an expert. And so I asked one this week. I asked a friend and said, what are the factors that go into a good harvest? And he said, well, good seed. Probably because he worked at a seed company around here. So good seed. Good soil. Good timing. Good weather, you know, good amount of water. And we started talking about this, and it's like, well, actually, most of those things I don't really have any control over at all. If as a farmer, I'm sure you guys know this. You don't know the right timing of the planting for this season until the season's over. Well, it's too late. Maybe this year it would have been good to plant it 2 weeks ago, or maybe next, you know, 2 weeks later. You know, we don't know. It depends on the weather. We can't control those things. The water, you have some control over it, but you can't control how much it's going to rain this summer. You can't control the temperature. God makes things grow. And not only is that true in agriculture, it's true in our life. It's true in these things. God is the one that's going to make them grow, and he's going to make them grow in his timing. And so when we're planting seeds in the lives of people around us spiritually, we can't control it, but we are responsible to plant them, because as we see, we are making choices all the time. And it's making a difference one way or the other, but we can't control the crop, the harvest, the yield. That's not up to us. It just isn't. And so Paul is clear that we don't earn our salvation. We're not earning something by how we're planting, by how much we're working. We're actually doing these things because we love God and we understand that this is how his world works. And we're not earning his love, but repeatedly he says that God has created us for these good works and these good things. And so we need to pay attention to it, that we should keep planting and scattering seeds, which kind of leads me to another very common misconception that I know I believe regularly, is that this work is glamorous. When we talk about the harvest, when we talk about harvesting, I mean, again, I'm not a farmer, never driven if I'm in a combine, but I would imagine that's the fun part, isn't it? You drive the combine and you're harvesting, that's the glamorous part. You get to harvest it or selling the crops, like that is wonderful, that's the great part. You know what's not glamorous? Everything else, which is the majority. And when I read Matthew 9, and I even had this in my mind for years and years and years and years until I've just started recently looking at this with fresh eyes. Jesus says this to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields. And I've always had this picture that Jesus is trying to paint, like, look at the harvest. Look at the crop. I just need some people to come and drive some combines. It's going to be fun. It's going to be awesome. That's not what he says. He says, pray to the Lord of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields. He doesn't say what stage those fields are in. He didn't say, maybe you got to plow it, or maybe you're going to plant it, or maybe you're going to water it, or maybe you're going to work it, you know, when it's 100 degrees on the 10th of July. It's not all just harvesting and reaping wonderful crops and driving the combine. That's not what it is. It's not all glamorous. And in the life of the church, I think about sometimes, and it's our fault, we paint this picture, just come and serve. It's going to be awesome. We're going to make a video clip of you and your testimony. We're going to show it up on front, and everyone's going to see how awesome you are and how you, you know, prayed with 20 people to accept Jesus because you started working in the youth group. Thank you. We're going to put you up there. Or whatever it is. I mean, I think about even this program that we're doing and some of you participate in conjunction with the schools. There's this lunch mentor program. I've been doing it at the elementary school for a year and a half, and I've been meeting with the same kid. He's in fourth grade. And I've played, I don't know, probably 100 games of Uno with this kid. And I don't think he said a word to me at all in a year and a half. And I've asked him, you know, unless he's answering a direct question. And I have no idea sometimes what I'm doing with this kid, other than that I'm present. But I know I'm planting seeds. And it's up to him. He's the Lord of the harvest. It's not necessarily glamorous. And that's a lie if we think that it is, because it's hard. It's hard work, not necessarily glamorous. Now, this next lie or misconception that I think we believe is in some ways a culmination of many of these previous lies, that we can feel trapped or we can feel tricked into thinking that we have to act a certain way, or that, well, I just don't have a choice. I don't have any choices. I act this way because I have to. Or I act this way because that's just how I am. Or you don't understand, Andrew, I have to work that many hours a week. I wish I could change, but I have to. I don't have a choice. Well, Jesus says in John 12, see what he says about this. Verse 24, he says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and it dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Those who love their life in this world will lose it, and those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Jesus is saying, we all have a choice. You should never feel boxed in that you don't have a choice. That's a lie that Satan wants to tell you, is that you don't have choices in this life. But you do, but it's a very difficult choice. It's a choice to give your life to Jesus. And it's so interesting how Jesus phrases this, because I don't think it's something that, I certainly don't think of it this way, that when we plant a seed, you're actually killing the seed when you help it to grow. There's no more seed. It's dead. But when you plant that seed, the fruit that comes is something maybe that we couldn't imagine. And so we have a choice to give our life to him. We have radical choices. Sometimes we think that we don't have these choices, but you do. You have autonomy over your life to make choices. Sometimes we feel like we're boxed in. Well, I don't have the money to do this or the time to do this. And I've stopped saying those phrases because, you know what, I do. No one said I have to drive, you know, my wife and I have to own two vehicles. We could sell one. We'd have some more money. You know, time-wise, we can make adjustments. I don't have to be a pastor. I could change my profession. I could change what I do. Katie could go back to work. There's all kinds of things that we could do. We don't have to live in the home that we live in. We could sell it and move to a smaller home. So I'm choosing not to do this because I'm choosing to. I'm not forced to. And just how we think that maybe we don't have choices, but I think we actually do. And here Jesus is saying, when you have a choice to give your life to him or not. But if we do die to ourselves and give our life to Jesus, he's saying, you will get to keep it for eternity. Finally, one last misconception that I think and pray doesn't undermine everything that I've said. But here it is. Because I think it's something that we think that causes us not to believe this principle that we harvest what we plant. And is this, is if you believe this is absolutely always true, if you believe that this is always true, I think you know in your mind that it's not. Because we all know of situations, we've experienced them, where I've been doing this over here, but this isn't what I received in return. And we know this. We know that many times there's no rhyme or reason for a car accident or natural disasters or certain weather or a miscarriage or loss or a diagnosis at the doctor or whatever it is that we know happens in this life, because we live in a broken world. And so we don't just live by this principle alone, saying, well, this thing happened and I know I wasn't planting those seeds over here. Why did this happen to me? And if we think this is always true, it might lead us to believe that it's never true. And so we give up on the little faithful things every day. And we say, well, this principle is rubbish. And that's not true, because we read the whole Bible together. And there's a whole book, the book of Job, that was written to tell us, actually, sometimes this isn't true. All of Job's friends were wrong. They went around Job, and Job had all this stuff happen to him. If you're not familiar with the story, this is an old book in the Old Testament. Tons and tons of just horrific things happened to him, and his friends got around him, and they said, tell me what you did, Job. What is it that you did? You had to have planted something over here to be harvesting all of this negative stuff, Job. But in the end, God vindicates Job, because he was saying, I didn't plant that stuff, but yet this is what's happening. But what I don't want us to do is to throw it all away, because what Paul is saying, what God is saying, is true like 98% of the time. What we plant is what we harvest, even though we live in a complicated world and that isn't always true. So don't be misled into thinking that what you do tomorrow morning when you get up, and whether or not you choose to pray and make a habit of praying, matters or not. It matters. It matters a great deal. I love what Craig Groeschel says, a pastor I listen to sometimes. He says, successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. And that maybe tomorrow, if you get up and you read the scripture and you pray, or you really work hard to treat the people in your life well, that may not radically change your life by dinner time. I think it'll help. But what will really make the difference is when you plant those seeds for years, then what will you harvest? Think about that. That is what Paul's talking about. That is exactly what we're talking about. That although there are things that happen that may lead us to believe this isn't true, it is true. It is so true. The choices we make today determine who we become tomorrow. So I hope that you see, as simple as this is, there is so much opposition by the world, your own flesh, and the devil, because he doesn't want us to understand this most basic principle, because it will change everything if we take all the opportunities, the most basic and simple things. What happens Monday through Saturday, that matters a lot. We sow a lot more on Monday through Saturday than we get to sow on Sunday. That's why it's so important. And we can be misled. It's so easy to be misled. James chapter 1 says this: humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. You have to do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. You're only fooling yourself. That's what James says. It's so easy to know the word and not live it. It is simple, but I pray that we're renewed in our zeal. That's why we read the scriptures together. That's why we make a habit to meet together regularly. That's why it's important to gather together as the church, because this is hard and we need each other and we encourage each other and remind each other of the truth week in and week out. And as James points out, we can fool ourselves. I know this from my own experience, but I was reminded of this even a couple years ago around New Year's. I read a study from Lifeway Research, which was so fascinating to me because they interviewed thousands of American Christians. And they asked them this question: did you grow last year? And most of them, way over half, said, well, absolutely. I grew in my faith this year. Of course I grew this year. Who doesn't grow? Right? I just grow. And then they asked them this very helpful follow-up question: so what did you do last year that was different than the previous year? Did you incorporate something new, or, you know, what caused this growth that you say you're growing? And less than 5% of all those people said anything. They had nothing to share. Only 5% said, well, I incorporated this new habit, or I started reading scripture, or I started attending church more, or I, you know, some kind of spiritual discipline to actually foster some kind of growth. And what I think that is saying is we are misled. It's hard, but I think it's true. We're misled, friends. And this matters because our lives matter. That's what's at stake. The things that we're thinking matter. The things that we do matter day in and day out. And because of this, we can't let it go any longer. And so my challenge to you is this: choose today what you want to plant, and plant it today. Start planting it today. And I want you to kind of think in your mind, take an inventory right now. What kind of things am I harvesting in my life? What's my relationship with God like right now? Not the picture of what I think it should be, or maybe what I tell other people, but what is it? What's my relationship with the people that are closest to me? Maybe your spouse or your parents or your friends. What are those like? What are you really harvesting in that area? Because you've been planting for a long time. Do we need to change how we're spending our time? Do we need to change how we're spending our money? Do we need to change the things maybe even that you're doing with your life, your career, where you live? I don't know. But when we think about what we want from this life, it's not removed from this principle. And we need to take an inventory there. And these principles aren't just self-help things. As I kind of am even talking and thinking about this, it's so easy to think, well, this is just another self-help book in Barnes & Noble. It is so far from that, friends. Now, it certainly is for us, but we cannot miss the fact that this is about planting in the lives of people around us. This is about taking up the challenge of planting spiritual seeds and inviting people to church and praying for people this Easter season and praying for opportunities to interact with our neighbors and our families. And so if you would join me and our elders, they've been doing this for over a month already, to pray specifically, because we want to plant some seeds here. Pray specifically for one person leading up to Easter. Not necessarily that they would even come to church here at White River. I mean, if they're your neighbor and you could bring them, that would be wonderful. But this may be a relative that lives in California that has no opportunity to come here. That is fine. We don't care, but we want to start planting spiritual seeds. And we would challenge you to join us to pray for that person. Maybe even fast. And that would look like maybe skipping one meal this week and next week and just praying instead of eating. Or skip something else if it's not a meal. And pray with us and start planting some seeds. So that's just a simple challenge that I would encourage you to take with me. But as I think about all of this, I think it's so easy to fall back into thinking exactly what Paul was speaking against, that this is a burden. This is something that we have to bear. But Paul would remind us that religion is something that you have to do. But the gospel says that we do things because of what Jesus has done. That we're not doing this to earn something. We don't do all of these things in our life because we have to, but we get to. Because Jesus loves us. And our status with him is not changed because of maybe how we've planted in the past. He still loves us. Even if you're thinking, man, I've messed this up. And for those of you today, I would encourage you with these words from 1 Corinthians 15. It says, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever, ever useless. It's not useless. May we go in that way today. So unlike the five-year-old who mistakenly thought that grandpa's work in the fields was pointless, we know it is not. Don't give up. Don't give up the discipline of honoring the Lord and living for Jesus either. Let me pray for you all. Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you today for how you're working in our hearts and in our lives. May we embrace the ways in which you are challenging us today. The ways in which maybe you're asking us to consider changing our habits, our thoughts, the things that we're doing, because maybe we're harvesting something that we don't need to. God, may you work by your Spirit, because you have the power to raise the dead to life, God. That you can change us to be people that love you and take advantage of all the opportunities that are ripe around us. God, encourage us today and remind us that you love us. In your name, amen.